with a baby in one hand and a microphone in another, Hannah Way sets out to conquer the world one podcast episode at a time.
Okay.
Alongside her husband, which is me. And we're fixing to dance it out. So settle in, but first, shake it off. You can dance along with us. Just picture us dancing. Well, a lot of people said that they missed having the dancing intro. We don't really dance anymore because we're basically just sleeping. We're the Walking Dead.
Yeah, basically.
Okay, well, today we're going to be talking about patience and perseverance and timing. But before we get into that, let's just talk about our week, if you can remember it, Hannah.
Well, I'm sick for the second time in 1 month, and I have not been sick for, like, over a year. So, if that tells you anything about how my week is going. There you go. There's my mucus in my nose. Yes, I am sick, and it has been kind of a rough week. I feel like I say that every week, but it's just a rough season, I guess. losing my voice a little bit, so sorry. But we got a new car. Zach surprised me with a new, brand new used car.
A brand new used car.
But it's green, and that's our whole family's favorite color. Well, we don't know about Fern, but me and Zach and Forrest, it's all of our favorite color.
She doesn't have a choice in the matter, really.
Yeah, but we're all very excited about the car. It's a Subaru Outback, and it is green, like a good green. And Forrest named it Hulk Smash Way. So, you know, that's its name.
Yeah, because everything in our family has to have way in its name.
Yeah, he's really into, like, figuring out families and like who is related to who. Like Zach's grandparents were just visiting for his sister's wedding, and we were telling him how it's his cookie's mommy and daddy, and how it's daddy's grandpa and grandma, and how it's Forrest's great grandpa and great grandma. And he really likes learning how family stuff works. So yeah, he's all about last names and stuff too. It's funny.
Yeah, he says, Hannah Olivia Way.
Olivia. Zachary Evan Way. Forrest Quoso Way. Oh, there's Fern. She's...
And Fern.
Grumpin'.
Lucy Way.
Yeah, so it's a hard week, but we got a new car, so that's cool. And
Halloween is this week.
Halloween's coming.
And Forrest is dressing up as Buzz Lightyear and his cousin, it's not really his cousin, my cousin's son, our roommate's son.
It's Forrest's second cousin once removed. That's what it is.
Oh gosh, that's so difficult. We'll just say cousin.
I'm just saying that's what it is, but we call them cousins.
Well, he also calls my uncle's sons and daughters cousins.
Well, those are your cousins.
Yeah, it's so weird.
So that would also be it'd be your cousin, his cousins once removed.
Oh my goodness.
But we just call them cousins. It doesn't matter. I don't know why you're even making a big deal out of it.
I don't know how family lineages work.
Everybody basically is cousins.
Everyone's cousins. Yeah, so we got a new car, and that's exciting. I drove so much yesterday because I picked it up in Pasadena, and I drove my parents down to LAX, to go travel for the business. They're visiting some suppliers. I work at a family business, and I am being stretched super thin there because I've got three different job titles, but then I'm also dad and husband. And like Hannah said, it's been kind of rough, but there is always a silver lining.
There's always something to be thankful for.
There is always something to be thankful for. But I don't know what the silver lining is.
Well, I don't know about silver linings, but there's always something to be thankful for.
Yeah. The light at the end of the tunnel. What are some other cliches about that? It will get better. This too shall pass.
I don't know. I can't think. I don't have brain space.
But something that I've been thinking about this week, and this is going to be a little bit of a shorter episode. I mean a lot of bit of a shorter episode, because it doesn't look like Fern's falling asleep anytime soon. What I've been thinking about a lot is about patience and perseverance and time. And I like those terms a lot better than saying, like, oh, we're just going through a season. Because I feel like that's kind of cliche, and people are always saying that they're going through a season. But the thing about seasons is they have defined end times, and we don't know when this season's end time will be. So I don't know. I kind of feel like people use that term, and maybe this is me just being judgmental.
You are being judgmental, because I used that term earlier in this episode.
Well, I love you, and so I overlooked it. I'm just kidding. No, I know what you meant, but I feel like people are like, oh, this is just the season of life we're in. There's nothing we can do. And then they're just stuck in that season of life for like 5 years.
I think people use that as a way to say, like, it's like an encouraging way to say, like, yeah, I know you're going through a hard time right now, but it's going to have an end sometime. So it's just a season. This is where you are right now.
Yeah, and that sentiment I get. But when people use it as like an excuse for not challenging themselves or continuing to grow, or as an excuse. I don't like when people use it as an excuse, is I guess what I'm saying. And because it is a cliche, I think that some people have the tendency to use it as an excuse.
Yeah, maybe.
Fern is just doing something really funny right now.
She's really strong. She's like bobbing her head, and she's like picking her whole her whole top half off of my chest.
Yeah.
She's very strong. I mean, kind of had to be there, but whatever. It's cute.
It's like, picture a blind snake looking for something to bite, and that's what Fern is doing.
She's really
she's headbanging. She is dancing to some music that we cannot hear. Anyways, the reason why I've been thinking about this is because I am not a patient person. I want things done now, and I don't like to be able to see progress and track progress.
You don't like to be able to see progress?
I don't like to not be able to see progress.
Oh, yes, that makes more sense.
And I don't like it when I can't track something, like when there's no way to measure it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Is this situation getting better? Is this season of time, like, getting better? Or what are, like, actionable steps that I can take to mitigate some of the uncomfortableness of this situation?
Yeah.
And, well, obviously, like, we're talking about, like, having two kids and not getting very much sleep, but this applies to a lot more areas of life. I just wish that, like, 5 years ago, I would have learned how to be more patient and how to understand that there is a time for everything, and also understand the importance of perseverance.
Yeah, I would agree.
I think that it's easier to persevere through something when you see an end in sight, but when you see no end in sight, it's a little bit more difficult to persevere through that.
Yeah. But everything changes, so you know that there's going to be an end. That's why.
Yeah, but it's like in the unforeseen future. It's just like, oh yeah, well, yeah, eventually in 16 years Fern will sleep through the night and we'll get some sleep, or you know.
Well, I mean, that's not even the thing. It's not even, yeah, well, okay, sure.
Well, yeah, that's not the main thing, that Fern is not sleeping through the night. There's, like, a lot of different moving pieces. It's, yeah. What are some of the things right now that you don't see a end in sight for?
It's just, like, everything all at once in my head. Like, everything that I have to keep track of, like, Fern... Or feeding, making sure like she's getting fed enough and gaining weight, and then everything to do with Forrest is like everything all at once, and then I have to figure out, oh well, now Fern's 6 weeks old, I have to start working out now and get back in shape, and it's just like a ton of stuff all coming at once, and I have to know all the stuff all at once in my head at all times, and it just is.
So you're kind of thinking like, when am I going to be able to just calm down my mind?
Yeah, it's like, when will I organize things and not feel overwhelmed by everything? I guess that's harder than not getting sleep for me.
Yeah. For me, when things pile up, and when I am stressed or sad or something like that, like when things just like start piling up, it's very difficult for me to be patient about it. Because I don't know why. I don't know why. I didn't learn how to be patient very well.
Yeah.
It reminds me of when I was talking to... Dave Munson from Saddleback Leather, he said that, Zach, just picture it this way. Well, he was quoting Zig Ziglar, which Zig is so good. Such a wise old sage. I mean, he's dead now. Rest in peace. But I'm just thinking... Well, okay. Dave said, you're in training until you're 50. You're in training until you're 50. And so, like, everything here is in preparation for once you turn 50. So that means that you have to be patient until you're 50.
And then you don't have to anymore.
Well, I'm just saying. No, but, like, I want it now.
But I think that that kind of could go either way. Like, that could kind of say, like, well, just... when you're 50, then, you know, everything's going to be fine and everything's going to be good, and then your life can start. Sorry if you hear Fern, she's has her pacifier. Like, that's when your life is going to peak, is when you're 50. But then I feel like you're going to just, I don't know, miss stuff.
Well, patience isn't passivity. Being patient is not being passive to the things that are happening in your life. It is understanding that there's some things that are out of your control.
Yeah.
Being passive is not trying to take any personal responsibility for the things that are going on in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess, yeah, some people could take it negatively that you're in training until you're 50, so you just kind of goof off and, you know, don't do anything until you're like 49. Or don't learn, I don't know. But also, I think the older you get, the easier it is to be patient.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, I think that you, depends on your life experiences. I feel like people who, I don't know, because it definitely depends on your personality, but I feel like you, if you're parent, you have so many instances where you have to be patient.
Your patience is tried.
Yeah, your patience is tried, like, daily, like, minutely. Well, lately it feels like all the time, like every second with two kids. But so I feel like if you I don't know. And it definitely depends on your personality too, but there are certain life experiences that make you more patient or less patient.
Yeah.
So I guess not just age.
Yeah, I guess I know some very impatient old people.
Yeah.
In addition to some very, very patient old people.
And some very patient young people. Younger people.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. So what's the secret to that?
I think temperament has a lot to do with it. Yeah, temperament and your personality. And I don't know. Because I think about what makes me lose my patience. Well, I get frustrated with my kids. Mostly that's like what actually makes me lose my patience is that. Not much else in life. Because it's like it's so reactionary.
No, people driving slow in the fast lane, you lose your patience.
Oh, yeah, I lose my crap when that happens. But yeah. But that's the thing. I mean, I feel like we're relating everything to being parents, but we are parents, so I don't know. I feel like it really being a parent brings out like the deep dark parts of you that you didn't really have to show before. But it's like because it's what comes out when it like you're not trying to like stop it, you know? If that makes sense.
You are you're not managing other people's perceptions of you.
Yeah. And like there's
or you're not aware of how you're reacting until after you've reacted.
Yeah, because it is. It's like a reaction, like just a split reaction. It's like a reflex almost, which is not how I want to be. I don't want to have an impatient reflex when my kids frustrate me, but I mean, I'm working on it, whatever. But it's very interesting the things that, like, that's been the only thing so far that has really tested my patience like that is having kids. But it's like really refining and also really humbling and really hard. Sorry, I'm choking.
Yeah, it is hard. It is very refining too. Hopefully we'll be knocking off all of our like sharp and rough edges. But when you're knocking off those sharp, rough edges, that just it's not a pleasant process.
No, it hurts, man. It's hard. It hurts. Like when, like Forrest sometimes will ask me like, Mom, are you sorry for getting frustrated with me? And it just like stabs me in the heart, man. It's like so, makes me so sad and so humbled and so like, oof. And then like having to tell him like, yep, that was wrong of me. I was frustrated and I didn't talk nicely and whatever. Like break it down in 2-year-old terms. It's just, yeah, it's very refining. So it's good, but hard.
Well, let's go, like, broader picture here. What I'm thinking about, besides parenting, is being patient for, like, the big things in life. Learning how to be patient, finding a spouse, if that is something that you value. Learning how to be patient, possibly owning a home or making the salary that you want to make or, you know, whatever it is. How do you learn to be patient during those times? I think that you have to learn perseverance and you have to seek to continue to grow and to be challenged. And meet challenge with a patient spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, for instance, if one day I want to write a book and I'm busy, you know, we're all busy in life. But I'm busy and then I'm thinking like, well, when am I going to have the time to write the book? And I'm not patient and I just take like a month off from work and then go and write this book because I want to get it done. I think that there's some people who can do that, but a lot of the process of writing needs to come with time, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's more than like writing a book. It's a lot of different things. Like, hey, when are we going to get our, when are we going to be just be on top of our budget, hun?
Mm-hmm.
So you don't get impatient about that. But I am like, dude, when are we going to figure this out?
Well,
why can't
I get
we figure this out?
About it. It's just, I get it. It's different. I'm different than you.
Yeah. There is something that I read recently. I was reminded of it, and so I had to search it on the internet. But it's something that my parents always say about their business that they run. And when they took over the business, it wasn't making like a ton, like it wasn't a huge business. And now we're hiring 10 more people this month, and they have big plans to grow the business. But if you grow too fast, there's unforeseen problems that happen. And so you have to grow gradually, or else you're going to experience those like big problems, not just in business, but personally as well, or relationally. If you grow too close together, you might overlook some things if you do it in too short of a time. Do you know what I mean, Han? Do you know anyone
Yes.
who has done that?
Sorry, I didn't hear what you were saying.
For a relationship, if you grow, if you want to have like just an awesome relationship and you are, you almost kind of like fake it if you want to it to happen immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Like you overlook some things.
I remember, I like specifically remember doing that, like not overlooking some things, but when I wanted a relationship, like a friendship to be like, I wanted the other person to think or like to know that like I wanted to be their friend and like a really good friend, then I would like tell them something really personal about myself that like, I don't know, that wasn't necessarily warranted, I guess. Like I can't think of a specific example, but I know that I've done that a couple of times with certain people that I like just really wanted to be close friends with, and you know, maybe that did help a little bit, but I'm not close friends with any of those people still, you know what I mean? So it's like a big gesture like that, like telling something to someone that's really personal. It's like I was impatient and I didn't want to let the friendship take its natural course. I just wanted to like define the friendship relationship, I guess, if that makes sense. I don't
right.
know.
Right. What do you think would have happened? And I'm not saying that people should follow after us, because what we always say is we're not experts in anything. So don't. We're not experts in anything. Okay, so this is not relationship advice, but Hannah and I dated for like 4.5 years
mm-hmm.
before we got married.
Yep.
Or before we got engaged. I forgot.
Married.
And what would have happened, remember, it was probably like, how long was it in when you knew that you wanted to get married?
Probably like 6 months.
6 months? Dang. I think it was sooner for me.
It was like 3 months for you, so don't dang me.
I did have to convince her to go on a date with me and also to date me. And she tried to turn me down.
You had to do a lot of convincing.
I wouldn't take no for an answer. But what would have happened if after 6 months we're like, okay, we want to get married. Let's just do it.
Well, we wanted to do that.
What do you think would have happened?
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure that we would have like made it work, but it would have been really hard because, well, you would not have been graduated from school, and we would have lacked more life experience. And I mean, if we got married when we were 19, which is like when we were like, yeah, we want to get married. I don't know. I'm really glad we did not get married then. Because we were so immature. But then at the same time, like there's people that have known each other for less than that and got married you know, in 6 months, you know, that they did. But that's the thing. Like, I would always look at those people. I remember getting so frustrated when anybody who was dating for less than us got engaged because, well, we just wanted to be married and we were together for 4.5 years. I'm like, I'm not going to marry anybody else. So we're just like ready to get married, you know? And well, we were ready, but like we weren't ready, you know? And then people who were like dating for less than us, like less than a year, were getting engaged. And we're like, well, for me, it was very, I don't know. It was very discouraging because I was really impatient. And I was like, they don't get to do that yet.
How dare they?
Yeah, how dare they get engaged? They've only been together for less than a year. And
do you think that good things come to those who wait, to throw another cliche in there?
I mean, sure, but I'm sure good things will also come to people who don't wait. I mean, it's not, I don't know. I mean, patience is a virtue. There's another cliche for you. And I don't know. Patience is a good thing to have, and it's hard to learn and stuff. But I mean, I don't think it means that you're not going to get anything good in your life if you're not patient.
Here's another cliche. Don't ever pray to God for patience because he'll give you opportunities to practice it.
Yeah, or like don't. People always say that, like, oh, well, I prayed for patience and I'm sure I'm learning it. Like, okay, shush.
I heard that. I know. Okay.
And then there's other people like,
amen, yep, sister.
Amen. Yeah, I'm not. I'm praying for patience because I literally need it, and I'm not praying for sanity. I'm not praying for opportunities to learn patience. I'm just praying, please, Jesus, give me patience with my kids. They drive me crazy sometimes.
Yeah,
I always feel bad when I think that. When I think like my kids are driving me crazy because I love them so much, like so much. But there's so many good, wonderful moments in the day that I have with them, and then it's like three bad things, like three frustrating moments in a row that happen, and then it like throws off everything, and then I feel like a terrible mom, and then I feel like our day is ruined, and it's like, it's just, I just feel so bad when I think that, but it's true. Sometimes they drive me crazy. Okay,
well, let's throw this into the physical arena real quick. You want to get in shape and you are not patient and you lack perseverance, so you take shortcuts. And what do?
You get one of those lap zappers that you put around your belly.
Yeah.
And then I remember seeing a commercial for it when I was little. It was like this really big fat guy, and he was wearing it around his stomach. And it's literally like a band that you put on your stomach and it zaps you, and then it's supposed to give you abs.
Yeah, wasn't he wearing it while he was, like, mowing the lawn under his shirt?
No, he was wearing it while he was sitting watching TV.
What a loser.
It was a commercial, but then it showed, like, a before and after, and it was, like, totally not the same guy. Or he just had a fat suit on or something, because then it was, like, this guy that had abs. And, like, the rest of his body was also really muscly all of a sudden.
Well,
so
now you
that
could
doesn't
just,
seem real.
You could just get liposuction and silicone implants. You want to know what is so weird? I saw on Instagram the other day.
What?
Ab implants.
Oh. I need those. I only have one ab currently.
Well, no, it's divided into two, left side and the right side.
But I only have one, so I really need to get in shape. Just kidding. I have two.
No, but it's going to be very difficult if you lack patience trying to get in shape.
Well, that's the thing.
Because
if
it's not
just
something that happens overnight. You're going to wake up and you're going to be like, oh my gosh, no progress.
If you just get, like, okay, let's say you want to be healthy and in shape. If you just get liposuction, that's not necessarily being healthy. You're not building your muscles. You're not, like, giving your heart, you know, you're not making your heart more healthy by working out. You're just taking fat off of your body. It's a shortcut, and it's not making you more healthy. It's making you more skinny. Same with like eating disorders, and like you think that is going to give you what you want. Well, okay, I have had an eating disorder, so I could talk about this. like you think, okay, you want more than anything to just be thin. And there is a lot of mind stuff behind it. A lot of like your mind is deceiving itself and all that. But the goal is to be thin. But when you starve yourself or when you make yourself throw up, you do. Okay. Yes, you do get thin, but that does, you're not healthy though. That's the thing, because you're starving your body of nutrients and you don't have muscle and blah, 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 whatever. So I guess that's another shortcut that people could take.
And when people lose weight like super, super fast and they haven't changed their lifestyle necessarily,
you get stretch marks.
You get stretch marks, but also the weight comes back like super fast and super easy.
Does it?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's why it's so important to change your mindset. And changing your mindset only comes with time. It's focused intensity. And it's personal responsibility. And it takes time to change the way that you think. And the way that you think affects the things that you choose to do.
Mm-hmm.
There's this quote. Let me trade you here.
Okay.
There's this quote that, to bring it back to my parents, that my parents say frequently. I've probably heard them say it at least 36 times. Focused intensity over time multiplied by God equals unstoppable momentum.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah, so cheesy, I know, but like when you think about growing a business or you think about losing weight or you think about a relationship or you think about some goal that you might have, for instance, Hannah getting to whatever next level she wants to get to.
What are you talking about?
What's the next thing? Gold?
Oh, I thought you were talking about getting in shape. Yes, gold.
So if Hannah wants to become a gold member at Young Living, the way that she's going to get there is focused intensity over time. And then because we're Christians, we believe that it's multiplied by God, and then that equals unstoppable momentum. It's the momentum theory. That when you continue to put in work, when you continue to take personal responsibility, when you continue to grow, when you continue to challenge yourself, and then you have the patience to do that over a period of time, a long period of time sometimes, that equals momentum. That equals progress. And momentum keeps you going. So that's the perseverance part. Patience is doing the same thing over and over and over. Perseverance is not getting tired of it and not giving up. And then that creates momentum, unstoppable momentum. Okay, Fern, I think this means the episode is just about done. Hannah, do you have any recommendations?
No, I don't have any in my head.
Okay, I have some recommendations. Stranger Things Season 2 is out.
Well, obviously.
Well, I just asked you.
Everybody who knows anything knows that is a thing.
Well, no, I'm recommending it.
No, I also am recommending it.
Okay.
Fern too.
Is scared of it.
She hates it.
She's really scared of the monsters. Actually, no, she sleeps through it. The one thing she sleeps through. Willie Nelson came out with some new songs, and he does this Hank Williams cover. I think it's a Hank Williams song. It's called Mind Your Own Business. That's pretty good. Alan Jackson has a new song on Spotify, and it's called The Older I Get. That song is super good, too. Bishop Briggs has a new song called Dreams, and probably have listened to that at least 40 times so
far.
Oh,
I have a recommendation.
Okay, go.
The Lady Gaga documentary on Netflix is really good.
Wait, did you watch it?
Yeah.
Without me. You know that I love her.
Okay, sorry. I liked it.
This is the first time I'm hearing about it.
Well, you're lucky I didn't watch Stranger Things without you.
How dare you even
I was watching that idea without you, so I didn't have to watch Stranger Things without you.
We'll have to talk about this later. The new August Burns Red album, of course. So Willie Nelson, classic country, Alan Jackson, country, Bishop Briggs, alternative, kind of, what is her genre? Trap gospel.
What?
It's kind of trap.
What's trap?
It's like, you know, that...
Dubstep? Is that dubstep?
No, that sounded like dubstep. I don't know. I can't beatbox it. Just go listen to the new Bishop Briggs.
I know about Bishop Briggs. I just have never heard the term trap before.
I don't know where
music.
Trap comes from, but it kind of sounds, it's like hip hoppy rap music-y.
Ooh, is that the technical term for it?
That I just said, I don't know.
Hip-hoppy rap music-y.
If you know...
You can quote him on that.
What trap music means. I'm just thinking
quote
of like
Facebook.
The genre that I have seen her in on Spotify. I think that's how they recommend. And then August Burns Red is metal. And their new album that came out is so good. Just... So good. They get better and better and better. I mean, they were like amazing to begin with, but you've got to listen to it. I think that's all the recommendations I have.
Okay.
All right. We did get a new review on iTunes. I probably cannot find it, but yeah, I can't find it. But maybe I'll read that on the next one. If you want, we would love if you would leave us a review on iTunes, send us an email, give us some recommendations, and we thank you to everyone who has given us recommendations on Fern and sleeping and things
yes,
like
thank
that.
You.
That has been so helpful, and we just really love you guys. Also, thanks to the voice memo that Natalie sent us. She went to school with Hannah in high school. And, yeah, I think that's just about it. We'll talk to you guys next week.
See ya.
Happy trails.